Okay, lots going on this planet. Time for some open lines here on Coast to Coast AM. And we shall do so when we come right back in just a moment. As we click along, can you believe next week, the end of the week, is July 1st already? Talking about the Mayan calendar, I mean, life calendar is clicking along. Let's go to David, Ontario, Canada. Hey, get us started this hour, David. How are you?
Not too bad. How are you?
Good. Thank you.
I could tell you 18 different stories. I've died of carbon monoxide poisoning, been brought back. I've talked to a spirit. I've watched a UFO refueling. I've trucked across your country, which was gorgeous. And now I'm sitting there retired. And the one thing I want to tell you about was this ghost story.
All right. Let's fire. By the way, your country, Canada, is also gorgeous. I spent a lot of time going through Canada to get to Fitchburg, Massachusetts. My father would always take the Canadian way up, and we just had a great time. And then I would go to Windsor a lot. I was born in Detroit, so I'd go over the Ambassador Bridge all the time, and we'd go there. And ironically, just a quick funny story, David, then we'll get into your ghost story. I always wanted to be on CKLW in Detroit, and I just never got hired. And now we're on that station, and I love it. So small world. I made it, but a little later than I expected.
Well, we always get there sometime.
For sure. But go ahead.
Well, a friend of mine asked me to move in with him up in a small farmhouse way up north there.
Okay.
He said he had a problem with a ghost. He had lost two girlfriends because his one little girl appeared at the end of the bed to his girlfriends. They accused him of lying and not telling him he had a daughter, and he tried to explain it, didn't do any good. So he comes to me, he says, Dave, I run into you. He says, you're the only one I can talk to who won't think I'm nuts. And I'm kind of going, well, that's either a compliment or an insult. He's no compliment, compliment. He says, I live in a haunted house. Short story, I moved in. I had my bedroom upstairs, you know how the sloping roofs are?
Sure.
And I had a queen-size mattress on the floor one. That was the only way I could get up. Box spring wouldn't fit. So okay. I'm lying in the bed one night. And I can sense her being there. But I'm Christian raised. What am I going to do? What is this? I got fears running through my head like mad. So I turn around finally. Okay, what do you want? Well, here's this little girl's voice in my head say, I want my dolly. I froze in the bed. I'm going, I'm nuts. Am I totally nuts?
I want
and I'm
dog.
Going, okay, fine. I got to ask another question. She says, I said, okay, fine. Where's your dolly? She said, it's underneath you. Oh, man, I hit the wall. I was out of that bed. I hit the wall. I go downstairs. My buddy says, did you see a ghost? I said, no, I talked to one. He said, what'd he say? And I told him. Went out into the living room. Here's an air duct that runs along underneath my bed.
Okay.
Got some mechanics wire. And I fished out a 100-year-old dolly.
No.
Dead center of my bed.
That's
everybody
a great
says,
story.
What are you going to do with it? I said, I'm going to clean it up and put it on the mantle. Well, he was convinced he couldn't leave for more than 3 days. I had to go back to work in the camp, salt camp. And I moved out, and he burnt the place to the ground in January sometime.
On purpose?
I don't know, but it released her. We found out she died of scarlet fever from town records about 100 years previous.
And she probably put that doll down that register somewhere.
Who knows? But the one thing I did learn about that...
What's that?
The structure of the house is a natural accumulator of the Earth's energy. It was wood on the inside, glass wool, steel sheathing on the outside. The same energy field that's coming our way that's going to kick our butt because we're using electricity... And
that's right.
The magnetic field around electricity is opposite to the planet's field.
One day.
You guys who are having this conference tomorrow, I hope they look into Wilhelm Reich's thing with his cloud busting, because I think that's how we're making it rain around the world with the digital signal. It's just a frequency off, and we're seeding our own clouds, seeding our own destruction.
He grabbed out the orgon out of the atmosphere, didn't he?
Right.
That's what it was called. Yep.
And that's what this house was. That's how come the spirit got trapped, because it was an accumulator like the cancer closet he built.
Well, and I've got to tell you, David, little kid ghost stories freak me out. They really do. Even though this was a good one, it wasn't scary, it was still kind of freaky. And mark my word, you're right. One day we're going to get hit by a magnetic field, an X flare. It's going to hit us. It's going to take out the power system for who knows how long, and what a disaster it's going to be for us. Let's go to Les in Fairlawn, New Jersey. You're on Coast to Coast. Hey, Les, welcome to the show.
Good morning, George.
Hey.
I'd like to mention a possible explanation for why some people see ghosts. Over the years, I've heard various stories where someone saw a ghost, but the ghost's head was not where it was supposed to be. In some cases, it was the ghost was holding his head and then one of his hands hanging down by his sides, or various other unusual stories. Well, a few years ago, I was watching a medical program. I don't remember. It was a few years ago. I don't remember the name. But in any case, it was about the brain. And it said that the parts of the human brain that receive nerve messages from the various parts of the body are arranged roughly in the shape of a human body. The areas of the brain that receive nerve messages from the legs are kind of like two rectangles or cylinders next to each other. And the area that receives nerve messages from the trunk is just above that. And the areas that receive nerve messages from the arms start just above the area that receives messages from the trunk, one on each side, and kind of both of them kind of hang down. But the area that receives nerve messages from the head is not where you would expect it to be. Instead, it's just below the area that receives nerve messages from one of the arms.
That's
in other words, just like some of the ghosts.
Okay. All right. Well, you know what, though? What if you don't have any physical functioning brain? Let's just assume you don't. I still think that people are receptors to picking up ghosts. I don't know why, but they are.
Well, I'm not saying this explains all the stories, but I do think that there's something in the brain that normally is hidden inside that sometimes leaks out into the conscious mind. And you see kind of a symbolic picture of your own body or your own brain. And that's what some people think is a ghost. It may not explain every story, but, you know, I think it could explain some of them.
Okay. Hey, great. Hey, by the way, if anybody's out there in Minot, North Dakota, give us a call if you would. Just let us know what's going on with flooding out that way in Minot. Let's go to Ray in Washington, D.C. Hey, Ray, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much, George. It's a pleasure talking to you because I do agree very much with the gentleman that was on earlier that it's very important to have the airwaves open and free where people can talk on all kinds of subjects and express themselves, because it seems like the right wing in the last 30 years, you know, the woman, Naomi Wolf, who wrote the book, The Shock Doctrine, about what the extreme right wing has been up to the last 30 years. I think your show is all the more and more important, you know, for people to express themselves in a free and open society. And
it's Ray, you may be right, because something is going on here that I'm beginning to put my thumb on that you probably already have. This program seems to be growing at an astronomical pace these days. I mean, I had a meeting with our network people over the phone a few weeks ago, and they are happily bewildered. But I think you're right. I think this program is geared toward the gut feelings of people, and it's going in tune with whatever we're feeling.
I did want to ask you also, George, in your opinion, sir, by the way, you are a very excellent host, George, and I have a thick notebook on all the your guests. I've become such a fan in the last 2 years. You've had such fascinating guests and so many fascinating subjects, you know, and that other gentleman earlier that said that he thinks that you're it was a compliment saying that. And it is amazing. I think it goes in with the Mayan calendar. People, like you said, some months ago, everywhere you go, because of the economy, you know, because of the wars and the greed and everything in the last 30 years. I think we had a break when Clinton was in during the 90s, for sure. But then we were getting on track. We had a balanced budget, and then we got off track as soon as the Republicans got back in again with their agenda. I'm talking about the extreme right wing. Do you think, particularly the last 30 years, with all the greed, the wars, and corruption, that in aligning, in getting in line now with the Mayan calendar, it's sort of a cleansing of the earth, and it's a starting over period because of
maybe. I think the planet physically cleanses itself anyway, by going through these catastrophes that occur every once in a while.
Or natural cycles.
Or natural cycles as well. But this other cleansing, something is going on. I mean, and you're right. As I picked up and as you are picking up, people generally, not everybody, but people generally are pretty down these days. It's amazing. I can't, out of a seven-day week, I can't find two or three days in a row where somebody is jovial or just having a great time. I mean, I can't find it. I mean, I'm trying to do this with my kids. I mean, things are tough for some of them, and some of them pick up, and Daddy tries to help as much as he can. But I'm telling you, I can't remember a time on this planet in my lifetime where so many people are so down at the same time. It's bizarre.
You know, George, the very few things, I've always had a way of getting along with dogs, and it's their innocence. And I always want to, I think it's part of my childhood. I'm 66 years old, and I even plan on going back to work. You may do a show about people 65 and over returning back to work. That may
That's
be
a good topic. Idea. Yeah.
You know, it would be a good, because that is also another growing phenomenon, out of economic needs, boredom, and whatnot. But I've always had this great, and you know, dogs are very psychic, and children with their innocence. It's funny, I never had my own children, but it's just a beauty. It's just a beauty of children, and also the innocence there. And then also with dogs, I've always gotten them because it's their openness, it's their naturalness. And if you keep that within inside you, like holding on to a certain part of your childhood, you know what I mean? Even as you mature yourself and grow, it's a beautiful thing to hold on to.
It sure is. It sure is. But stick around. We're going to have one heck of a ride, Ray, and we all feel it. George is in Allen Park, Michigan. Hey, George, how are you?
Okay, George. How are you, my friend?
Good. All is well. How's the neck of the woods in my old town? Everybody doing better?
Not that much better. Not really, unfortunately. But, hey, we're still blessed beyond what we can imagine as far as, you know, what a good part of the world still lives. So, you know, recessions and unemployment and all that to us are living standard is so far above, you know, so many people that we can't really complain too much.
Well, we got spoiled, didn't we?
Oh yeah, absolutely. And the government has led the way. Everybody, you know, buy now, pay later, just charge it plastic and borrow more and borrow to pay off Peter to pay Paul. And,
yeah.
It doesn't work. Finally, you know, you got to pay the piper. Yeah. But the reason I'm calling is I'm just deeply concerned. It seems to be like a blind spot for people. The whole idea of Dharma and karma and reincarnation, so many people that, you know, are saying that they're Christians are seeing that the two seem to be compatible. But if reincarnation is true, then you don't need Jesus Christ. There was no need for him to go to the cross. And if you have Christ, you have the very righteousness of God. What do you need reincarnation for to come back and be perfected? Now, we're not perfected, you know, those of us that are Christians, completely. We have that potential and that love of God and that power of his sanctifying spirit in us. But we're not going to be totally free of sin until we have a resurrected, glorified body. But doesn't that seem kind of amazing to you? I mean, the two just are not compatible.
No, they're not, and I'm at conflict with it. I'm a believer in reincarnation, but I'm also a believer. My spirituality is pretty strong about the belief of God and what that might be as well. And I fight with myself over this because I like you, ask that question. What's the purpose of reincarnation if you have all this? I guess what I've come up with is they just haven't passed it on to us that the soul tries to perfect itself with lessons learned on this planet in a physical body. And it makes mistakes, and it learns, and it makes mistakes, and learns. And so if it comes back several times, it's probably a natural thing.
Well, the problem problem is what Jesus Christ said and what the scriptures say is it's appointed unto man once to die. And I think, you know, I believe in a real personal devil, evil. I don't believe, you know, a little guy with a pitchfork and horns or whatever, and he's not omnipresent. He's probably never been near me. He might have been near you because you're in a position of power. But if you think you have all these chances, then, again, why bother with accepting Jesus Christ and what he did? I mean, Jesus, why did he bother going to the cross to die for our sins? And he says, if you die, you will die in your sins and you will be lost. But if you believe in me, your sins will be forgiven. So, you know, yeah, we are here to learn to love. You know, definitely that's one of the primary lessons. But we have to be careful and base that love on truth and the holiness and righteousness of God, because the Bible does say that God is love, but love isn't God. You know what I'm saying? See, if we start to really believe in this love conquers all, which in one sense it does, but in the sense of we have to be loving to everybody, well, we can't live like that. We can't just fake evidence right now to get Charles Manson out because he's in a bad place, and we love him, and God loves him, and we should love him and pray that the man gets straightened out. But we can't have a man like that free on the streets and just say, well, if we exercise our love and talk to the judge, and even if we had to fake it, it's an act of love to get this man out, and then he'll love everybody. It's like, no, I'm afraid he won't. There is real evil in this world, and it'll
stay that way.
Right.
I agree with him. And by the way, the devil has poked me with the pitchfork several times, by the way, and it's lessons learned. Learn by your mistakes. Let's go to John in Lake City, Florida. You're up with us. Hey, John, welcome to the show.
Thank you, George. How are you doing tonight?
I'm doing okay. Thank you. It's fascinating night.
Just a couple things. Actually, I was wanting to talk first about the Mayan calendar, and then I thought about something that happened last night, and I wanted to ask you a question about it. I had heard somewhere, and one of the things that I had always thought about is the Mayan calendar being cyclical. Much as our calendar just changed dates from January to February, and then we restart. But I had heard that December 21st was significant because of the fact that it's the first time in I forget how many years that the sun will be rising directly in the center of the Milky Way.
Oh, I know. The timing for all this is really bizarre, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. It is. And I just thought that was kind of obscure, but maybe that's why they say the Mayan calendar was going to stop on December 21st, and it's
maybe.
The sun's going to rise again in the center of the Milky Way, and then we'll just restart that Mayan calendar back over.
Could be.
Okay?
Could be.
And then the other thing I wanted to ask about, last night you were talking about the Men in Black, and you talked about the Mothman prophecies, and Mr. Redfern, who you had on, was talking about somebody who said that while he was talking to somebody, they had said that somebody called him on the phone and was describing what they were doing in the room at the time while they were talking to him.
Okay.
But wasn't that not also brought out in the Mothman prophecies?
I believe it was. I think that was in Keel's book for sure. We're done with the first half. The second half is right around the corner. I'll be right back. I've got George Knapp filling in for me on our Friday night program. So thank you, George, for that while I'm off to do what I do. But it's time then for our traditional shout-out. Thanks for supporting Coast to Coast AM. You know, most of the time we do this on Fridays. I'm going to do it now. Those of you listening to your favorite radio stations across North America, 545 strong, you Coast Insiders, thank you for everything. XM Talk, 168. And then the various chat room and groups. How about the Into Infinity folks, the Fantastic Forum 2 folks, hello all to you, Imagine of Worlds, National Radio Club, Sorcery IRC, MySpace groups, Yahoo Chat, Northern Kentucky Paranormal Group, the SoCal UFO Meetup groups, Hollywood Ghost Hunters, our buddy Greg the Cook in St. Louis, and all of you supporting Coast to Coast AM. We'll come back with more open lines in just a second on Coast to Coast AM. Congratulations, by the way, to our very own Mark Zakri. You know Mark. He comes on the program quite a bit. He won the Saturn Award in Los Angeles tonight for seasons 1 and 2 of the Twilight Zone Blu-rays that he put together. A great job he did with David Simkins as well. It was so cool, he said, that he was visiting Ray Bradbury and admiring his Saturn Award, and then tonight he gets his own. And in his acceptance speech, he quoted something that Ray had told him some time ago: looking back over a lifetime, you see love was the answer to everything. How about that? And there were some amazing people, he said, out there in the crowd at the Saturn Awards: Doug Jones, Clancy Brown, Frank Darabont, Vince Gilligan, and a number of showrunners of Fringe, by the way, Byron Burke, Gail Ann Hurd, and so many others. He had a great time. And Mark, congratulations to you on behalf of everybody here and listening at Coast to Coast. You're a great guest. And it's almost time to get you on pretty soon, isn't it? Let's go back to the phones. JP in San Jose, California. Hi, JP.
Hi, George. I'm sure glad you had a cave to go into during all those violent thunderstorms.
Oh, my gosh. They were everywhere.
Wow. And I guess even while you were on the air at some time.
It knocked out the power, by the way.
Yep. Wow. But you had the generators zap you back on?
The generators worked. Their battery operated, and they just had enough juice to get me through the entire show. About 5 minutes after I went off the air, they all went dead.
Oh, well, that's timing, George. Good timing. Yeah. Well, I called about the Alaskan earthquake that happened tonight in the Aleutian Chain.
Yes.
About halfway between Russia and the mainland of Alaska. And it was a 7.2 or so. And it happened, I don't know, somewhere between 10 and 11 p.m. maybe on the West Coast here in California time. I heard about it on the 11 o'clock news. And originally there was a tsunami warning or watch, and they canceled it, thank goodness. But it seems to me that with the quake in Japan and then more follow-ups, aftershocks there, along with Christchurch in New Zealand, it seems like just about every place along that Pacific Rim of fire has been hit, except here, you know, of great significance on the West Coast, California into Washington and Canada, in that Cascadia Zone and the San Andreas Fault, Northern California and down into Baja. So I'm concerned, and I was wondering if maybe you could get Mr. Berkland to come on and discuss, you know, these patterns that are going on. This happens to be the last quarter when that hit. It was a little bit out of Jim's window, but, you know, he says that that's when it's most likely. He doesn't say that's exclusively when those will happen. But I would like to hear his take on this. And since that happened tonight, then it was a significant quake, and I've been discussing with friends and family. I think the next place it'll hit is probably somewhere in Alaska or the West Coast here of Canada and the U.S. And, well, there's that one. So we're about the only spot left, and I wonder what Jim thinks of it at this point.
That, no, you are absolutely right. We'll get Jim on to talk about that, to elaborate even further. He has said that he believes that the West Coast is going to get hit by a major earthquake, and he believes it's going to be a little more north, but I think Southern California, too, could get hit by one. And I also think the Seattle area, sadly enough, could get hit by one. It's been a long, long time. These earth changes are happening all over the place. The Mississippi down here by St. Louis is way, way up, and you know about all the flooding all over the country. Let's go to Sioux Falls, South Dakota. Hey, Jim. Welcome to the show, Jim.
Hey, thank you. Sure. You mentioned, you know, you talked about how people seem down,
yes,
you know, around the country. And here's what I don't understand about that is, you know, we have it so well in this country, even though, you know, times are not that good. But, you know, it's like we still eat well here. We still have, you know, this great technology. Everyone can afford things. And even so, even the people that don't have it well, and I'm one of those, you know, it doesn't make a, you know, a big living. But I go into, like, children's homes every day, and I see kids that are, you know, they can't walk and everything. And I'll tell you what, I feel rich, I'll be honest with you. And I think a lot of what people feel down is we get inundated by all these shows on TV where we're supposed to be wealthy and have all these, you know, the nicest cars and everything. And when we actually have it well, we don't feel like we are doing all that well.
No, you know, you're absolutely right about that. And I think people need to strive just to enjoy themselves, enjoy their life, take care of their health, be, you know, take care of their family, and, you know, just have a nice, comfortable environment, whether it's an apartment a mobile home or a house, but you don't have to be grand. I mean, you know, I go and see some of these spots in Beverly Hills when I'm driving in the Los Angeles area, and there's a section of town where I have to go through. And I'm telling you, those things have got to be worth $10 million, $20 million. And you know what? That's crazy. What do you need a house that big for?
I don't. And then they shove it down our throats, you know, on these TV shows and everything. And then it's like, what's wrong with me that I'm not, you know, I don't have those things or whatever, when actually the good things in life, like you can still walk, you don't have cancer or anything.
That's right.
I would
trade my health and the benefits of a good health for any riches. You know what? What good are riches? Well, you know, if you're the wealthiest man in the world, Jimmy, what good is it if you're sick, if there's something wrong with you?
Well, there's a good quote in The Godfather, too, that, what was his name, Hyman, when he was down in Cuba.
Oh,
he
yeah.
Told Al Pacino, he told Al Pacino he'd pay $4 million just to be able to go to the bathroom without it hurting.
Yeah, yeah.
That ought to be something. And that's a great quote. So
you got it. Okay, thanks, Jim.
Hey, thank you.
Okay, let's go next to Stevens Point, Wisconsin. It's Michael's turn, east of the Rockies. Michael, go for it.
Hey, George. I've never been much for talk shows, and I've been listening to you for going on 2 years in November. You had Miriam Delicato on,
mm-hmm.
And I was kind of down at that point in my life, and I moved into a good life, you know, a new start and everything, but now I'm living on Indian burial mounds, which is really intriguing, and the Hopi Indians and things that, but Carl, when he got back with the mine and talking about the Blue Star and the Hopis, George, you've got a fantastic show, and I was just wondering when you're going to have Miriam back on again and how things went for her at the Great Gathering. I couldn't get to Arizona because I was going on that honor flight for the Korean and Vietnam vets. I'm a volunteer.
Well, good for you.
Veterans. I'm also a veteran myself. But, George, you just blow me away.
Well, let me tell you, we're going to get her back on. And I think things went well for her. I was not there. But with all the things I hear, things are going well. But it's probably time to get her back on, Michael. And by the way, thank you for what you're doing and contributing. And, you know, God, that's so important.
That
you give back a little bit, and good for you.
I try, George, just like you do. You know, we just do the best we can, right?
You can't stop. You have to.
Yep.
You have to. Okay, you take care, Michael.
Thanks, you too.
You know, bye-bye. I mean, I got to tell you, every day I wake up, when you get a little older, look, folks, I'm on the last third of this home stretch home. Let me tell you, when I was 20 years old, never even thought about anything like that. When I got to be 40, yeah, you still don't think about the end. But you know what? When you get into 50 or 60, you start saying, hey, this is it. And so every morning when I wake up, I say, you know what? I'm taking on this day. I'm going to enjoy it the best I can and do whatever I have, whether it's this program or my day off. I take minimal vacation time, as you know. One Friday a month. 1 week a year, I give back 2 weeks, and I try to work every holiday I can for you. I'm also checking, by the way, on the holidays. We're going to be live on July 4th, which is Monday. I'll also be live on that Sunday, July 3rd, and we're checking with Ian and George on Christmas and those dates because they're falling on weekends this year. And what I've told Lisa, our executive producer, I says, if they're taking off, you let me know because I have to plan on coming in because our pledge to you a long time ago was that we will have a live show for you on the holidays, and that's just the way it is. But, I mean, seriously, every morning I wake up, and I'm not kidding you. I mean, it's just you have to be thankful for what you're doing in the day, and you're not going to have a great day every day. Believe me, I don't. I mean, there's some days you want to stick your head in a hole and not come out. But, you know, you got to keep picking yourself up. And, Michael, I'm glad you have donated so much of your time to all that. Tom's got a text message back in Los Angeles. So, Tom, let's flip the switch here and see what you got for me.
George, you're not on your last stretch, by the way.
Well, I hope not, but I mean, when you look at things in terms of your lifespan, I am.
You could outlive us all.
Yeah, you're 200 years old, you think?
Anyways, Kevin from Atlanta, he says, text here, George, do you think people are unhappy because they want to be? Why is it so hard for people to deal with the ups and downs of life that we are experiencing?
Well, I think things affect people, Tom, a lot. Look, I know you like I know a brother I don't have, and you are one of the most upbeat guys I've ever known, but even you get affected every once in a while. And it's life is tough to pull yourself up from the bootstraps every day and get out there and do it. Well, what's happening to people now is, you know, if they've been laid off from work or their finances are in bad shape, and you magnify it with some of these other things, it's tough out there right now. And you can sense it. You can feel it. Can't you when you go out and talk to people?
Absolutely. You know, I had a teacher in high school, and I'll never forget his words he said to the class once. He said, life's going to be hard. Pay attention, you guys. And I go back to that every once in a while when I'm kind of feeling bad or I'm feeling like things are hard. But I did learn a long time ago, I just take whatever negativity is, you know, if it's negative and I'm feeling it, I just get rid of it because I just think it's really good to clean it out and try to go on.
Yep, you have to. You have to. All right, Tom, talk to you later.
See you later.
By the way, Richard Hoagland has got a major project, as you heard, tomorrow morning. It's called ProjectCamelot.org. He is part of an invited group of people to talk about Comet Elenin, or as he says, Elenin. And if you want to go to that website and read up all about it and how you can participate, it's ProjectCamelot.org. Richard's still up. He's got a presentation in several hours. He's still up working on it. The guy just doesn't stop. Let's go next to Sacramento, California. Brian's turn on Coast to Coast. Hi, Brian. What do you got for us?
Hey, how's it going? I just want to let you guys know that you and Art Bell woke my dad up. You woke me up. And I just want you guys, I want you to ask a question to me. Because I just barely graduated high school. I'm not smart. I want you to ask a question. Like, really, what kind of question would you ask me to see if America's waking up? Because I really want to show you, without being smart, without being in college, without doing all that, I want to see you ask me a question and see if America's waking up, because I think we are.
Well, let me ask you a question. You ready, Bri?
Yeah, go ahead.
And the question is, why do you think that people are so uptight these days?
I really think everybody's uptight because everybody's been manipulated to be uptight. And I really think it goes back to how you've been taught. I mean, you can ask me a million questions. I don't really think that's strong enough for to see how what they're trying to do to us. On the, you know, I know you hate to hear the new world order, and I think you like to hear it, but really, I'm serious. I mean, I swear to God, I've never went past high school, and I barely made it there. And I swear, you can ask me any question. I've been listening to you. And I haven't been listening to any weird conspiracies. I've been listening to the truth.
Well, but Brian, let me tell you, you're street smart. And yeah. You know what? You might be smarter than most people who get degrees in college because, you know, there's nothing like experience. And it sounds like you're out there getting it.
Yeah. And I hear you guys asking. And I want to let you know, we know that they took the money from us. They took our house money. They made the money when they took the houses. They bet against it. We know. And we're here. Just let us know, man. 60 million people listen to you tonight. Man, George Norrie, just let us know. Alex Jones, just let us know. We're ready when you guys are ready. I'm serious. And I'm not talking about hurting nobody. I'm seriously saying, let's get rid of the people that are ruining this country. It's time. I'm serious. And I'm not a weirdo. I'm not a psycho. I just barely got through high school.
I hear you, Brian. I hear where you're coming from. I hear your voice, your anguish, your feelings. And we're behind you. I don't think we have quite 60 million every night, but we're going to keep shooting for that worldwide. And we're going to get there one day. We sure will. Time for a few more calls. It's Gordon's turn in Jeffersonville, Indiana. Hi, Gordon.
Hi, George.
Hey.
Hi, George.
How you doing?
I'm doing well, thank you. I'm a two-term Vietnam veteran. I'm 62 years of age, and I served with the 9th Marines. And, you know, just hearing you earlier talk about, you know, how your perspective on things change as you age and possibly along the way, you do pick up some things that help you not make those same mistakes twice. And I feel like I've learned from them. I've been listening to you since I moved back, or well, since before I moved back here. Back in the mid-1990s, I started listening to Art, and started listening to you when you took over. And one reason I called this evening, you mentioned the gentleman, I forget his name, and one of your callers mentioned him a few callers back about the gentleman who does the earthquake diagnostic and the potential for earthquakes.
Jim Berkland.
Mr. Berkland, yes, and I have heard him a few months ago on your program, and the last time I heard Major Ed Daines, by the way, I read his most recent book, and I read your foreword, loved the book. Mm-hmm. I believe totally in what he's doing. Unfortunately, I don't have the funds to attend his remote viewing, but I'm just curious, number one, if you've ever had Ed and Mr. Berkland on at the same time because of Ed's potential for his remote viewing, and he can look into the future and look into the past. If, in fact, that the two have ever correlated their work to the degree that the last time I heard Major Daines, I think it was about two and a half months ago, he mentioned something about the potential for the San Andreas Fault.
Right.
Well, I grew up in southern Indiana, and I know all about the San Andreas Fault. And when I lived in Seattle, I was up there in South King County for about 10 years and then moved into the city proper. And I experienced two quakes there. One was a shallow, and one was a deep, and neither one of those were fun.
Well, let me tell you something, Gordon. They haven't been on together. They may have been on during the same night with Jim and News and Ed during the body of the show. The clocks got us. The clocks got us for Dan Galante, Tom Danheiser, Lisa Lyon, Lex Lonehood, Sean Laudasour, Stephanie Smith, Ross Mitchell, George Nappy, and Punnin and Art Bell. I'm George Norrie, somewhere out there on Coast to Coast AM. We'll see you on our next edition. Until then, be safe, everybody.